Join me. Lord Jesus, the body is weak, but your spirit is power. And I ask that you would speak, clearly, distinctly to each one of our souls today, that we would hear from you. We silence the voice of the enemy and every lie that he has to bring against us. In Jesus' name, every lie stops this morning. And instead, we only hear truth from you and your spirit. I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. We've been on a series on the foundations of faith, and this is the first step, the first module in our what we call our discipleship pathway, or the things that we think are most beneficial to you in your relationship with God. And so the foundations of faith, and we've been looking at several different things so far. First, we looked at the overarching story of faith, the big picture story of faith. And we followed from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation on the covenant relationship that God had established for us. Then we talked about what is the Bible and how you read it. And Miguel shared with us how to look at and how to read the Bible in order to best understand that context tells us everything. We need to understand context. Otherwise, we can read into the story and we can make the Bible say what we want it to say. We talked about who is God, who he is, and that there needs to be an aspect of mystery about him. That if we could fully describe him, if we could fully comprehend and understand him, then we would be putting ourselves in a position of trying to be God. We can know him to a certain extent. And then last week we talked about the problem of humanity and that the solution, we believe, here at Living Christ Church, is Jesus. And so this week I want to talk about what it means to follow Jesus, what it looks like to follow Jesus. And I want to start by saying this. I think sometimes when we do foundation type stuff, if you've had a relationship with Jesus for a really long time, you've been a part of church at any point, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're going, I don't need to hear this. I know this. I know this. I know this. If we ever get to that place where we don't feel like we need to hear any more about Jesus, we're in a bad place. If we ever get to the point where we say, that is too shallow, not deep enough, I think we need to reevaluate ourselves. Because if we're not stirred by the small yet ginormous miracle of Jesus' salvation, then there is very little that the Holy Spirit is going to be able to say to us more beyond that. If we can't get stirred by the small thing, which is really the greatest thing ever, salvation, then we're going to struggle with the meat that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. As Paul said, God forbid, may it never be that we stop getting excited about Jesus and his salvation. So this morning, I want to dive into what it looks like to follow Jesus. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 through 8. We're going to read all three chapters this morning. I'm kidding. We're not. We're not going to read all three chapters this morning. But I really encourage you to read these chapters. We're not going to read them all because this Romans is really like, it is like a full course meal, like steak and mashed potatoes and two sides of veggies. And like three desserts, Romans really is. And it really, I mean, there's so much nuance here. And there's so much in these three chapters that really should just like find some place and spend an afternoon just reading through these three chapters. Because there's this overarching thing that I want to highlight for us this morning. I want to highlight the big picture of these three chapters. So I'm going to narrow in a little bit and three specific things in these chapters. But I really encourage you. I'm telling you, there are some really good stuff to chew on in these chapters. And I'm going to say some stuff this morning. You're going to be like, wait, Pastor Jeff, I want to stop there for a minute. That's fine. Just put a little note, and then you can come back to it a little bit later. I just want to highlight, this is the hard piece of when you try to hit these core pieces of salvation in like one sermon topics, but I'm going to try to do my best in the 25 minutes that my body will allow me to do this morning. And I want to highlight these three things: that you have been made new. Last week we talked about that. You, when Jesus came into your life, when Jesus comes into your life, you get a brand new heart. Your old heart, your fallen, separated heart gets replaced with a new one. And so there is new life in Christ. There is a crisis generally after that point where you come to a crisis like, okay, well, what do I do now? What do I do? Because it can't just be that simple as having Jesus in my life. And so we hit this crisis. And then there's a progression or a process that we go through. And I want to look at those three things this morning. But first, I want to show you this picture. All right. It has always been my desire to live within 25 miles of a zoo. I love animals. So I don't know if you realize this or not, but we're about, depending on how you drive, about 19 miles from the Bronx Zoo, which is like, oh, come on. And I have to tell you, I have to preface this with, I have a love-hate relationship with zoos because I love animals. And when I see them in those, they're not in cages anymore, which is generally great. Like there's these open air exhibits at the Bronx Zoo, including this one. But if it weren't for them, then there's a possibility a lot of the animals that we have around the world would cease to exist. And that breaks my heart. And so this is, in my mind, it's a necessary evil in order to continue to help these creations that God has created continue. But this is Caleb and my niece, Anna. And the reason why I say this is because I love zoos, and like I love animals. So if you're around me at any amount of time, chances are I'm going to bring up some animal. Right? I'm going to do it because I'm fascinated by it. I could watch Nat Geo Wild 24 hours, 7 days a week. Like I love everything to do with animals. And so my kids at an early age could begin to tell you animals that most people didn't know about. And we nanny for my nieces, and Anna is one of them, and we have one of the things we splurge on as a family is a membership to the Bronx Zoo, and we go all the time. And so Anna gets to come with us. So when Anna could barely even speak, she could tell you animals that most people, you know, didn't know existed. And so we'd be at an exhibit, and she would say, "Hey, Uncle Jeffy, what's that?" And I would say, "That's an okapi." And she'd go, "Okapi!" And then somebody would come up and go, "Oh, look at the giraffe." And she'd go, "No, it's an okapi. What's wrong with you?" My favorite animal is the snow leopard. Some of you already know this. And so we'll go to the snow leopard exhibit, and she'll go, "Uncle Jeffy, it's your favorite. It's the snow leopard." And somebody will come up, and they'll say, "Oh, look at the white tiger." And she'll go, "It's the snow leopard." And so consequently, every time we go to the zoo, she's got to get a new animal. So instead of like a teddy bear and a dog at home, she's got a fennec fox and a red panda and all these endangered species because she hangs around Uncle Jeffy. And she likes animals like Uncle Jeffy. The things that we hang out with and we invest in and we focus on oftentimes have the most influence upon us. And as we go into the rest of this passage, I want to highlight to us that the more we focus on Jesus, the more we will become like Jesus. And the more we focus on the stuff in our life, the more we will become like that stuff. There's a good old verse in the Old Testament that says, "Bad company corrupts good character. But good company changes character." So as we go forward this morning, I want to start with this. This is my pretext this morning. This is my answer to the solution of the problem this morning. I don't think it gets any simpler than this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, "A relationship with Jesus or following Jesus can be summed up in this: adherence to Christ, adherence to him." He fleshes it out over the course of about 1,000 pages, but if we boil it down, a relationship with God is adherence to Jesus. And I believe there's a second part in this I would add to it, and we'll get to that in a second. But the key to following Jesus is that adherence to him. So I'm going to look at some passages of scripture here in John, pray for me. In Romans chapter 6, and I said, please go back, read. I mean, there's so much good stuff here. We're going to skip around. I just want to highlight a couple things in each one of these chapters. I want to look at verses 8 to 14 and then 18 to 19 this morning, and then just kind of look at those a little bit closer and then move on. But if you go down to verse 8 on page 1094 in the Pew Bible in front of you, or if you have your own Bible, that's great. 1094, verse 8, it says, "Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin, once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law anymore, you're under grace." Then jump down to verse 18. In verse 18 it says, "You have been set free from sin and have become a slave to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness that leads to holiness." I just want to highlight a couple of these things here this morning. In verse 6, it says, "Our body of sin was buried with Christ. It was done away with. Now you have been made new. So count yourselves dead to the sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." There we go. Sin no longer has mastery over you. You are no longer, now you are under grace. You used to offer your body to sin, that separatedness, and you were a slave to sin. But now offer your body as a slave to righteousness that leads to holiness. This is set apart, holy, becoming holy. In the scripture here, it says holiness, and that word really in Greek means sanctification, which is a big word that literally means to be made holy, to set apart. To be made special or new in every way, shape, and form. It's both an immediate thing, but then also a progressive thing. So you have become holy and you will become holy. You are made new and you will be made new. Generally, at this point, in my conversations with people, they say, "Well, that's great, Pastor Jeff, that's awesome. Jesus, now what?" And I think this is the next section of scripture that I want to share with us this morning is oftentimes where we get stuck and we can't get past it. I have conversation after conversation after conversation with people who have made a profession of faith. Maybe they said a prayer that went something like, "Jesus, I believe that you were God, our God, and desire a relationship with me. Come into my life and change me." They prayed some kind of prayer, and then at that moment, they didn't feel like anything happened. They didn't feel like anything happened, like there was no progression. So now what? Have this conversation over and over and over again. And so then what we oftentimes revert back to is how we dealt with things in the past. Like, just try to be good. Just try to be better. Just try to be better. And we get in this cycle and the cycle and the cycle. And so Paul says, listen, I understand that cycle that you're talking about. So he talks about it in Romans chapter 7. In verses 7 through 11, we're going to look at a couple of these this morning, and then I want to highlight some stuff. So if you just look over to the second part of the page in chapter 7 through 11, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I had not have known what coveting really was, if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came in, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that I was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. All what he's literally saying is here, when you focus on sin, you're going to sin. When you're focused on darkness, you're going to become dark. When covetousness came to my attention, I coveted all the more. What does that have to do with the best chili? My other favorite love in life is food. And I hope over the course of the next minute and 30 seconds to make your mouth water. So how many of you like chili? All right, a number of you. If you don't like chili, maybe you'll like chili when I'm done. I love a mean pot of chili. And a couple years ago, they were doing a chili cook-off, and I didn't like the chili that I made, so I looked up I found a champion chili recipe from Texas. And they said the greatest mistake of chili is when people put beans in the chili. Beans are filler. They're not chili. We could have a side conversation about this if you want, but let me give you the recipe that I believe you will never go back from. And this is a red sauce-based chili. Now, this is the ingredients. If you want to take these down, that's fine. Go ahead. I'll share this recipe. But there is a specific plan in which you have to follow. You can take a picture of this. You can write down whatever you want to do. But this chili, I'm telling you, our connection group will attest. This is some mean chili. Testify. Woo-hoo! This is good. It's good. And so here's the deal. This is what you do, all right? You brown the beef first. You brown it in a big pot. Then you siphon off the oil. You don't want that oil. It may taste good, but it's not what you want. So you siphon off the oil. And then this is very important. I didn't put this up here, but this is very important. You fill that pot until the beef is covered in water. And when that beef is covered in water, then you boil the beef for 20 minutes. And you can put other seasoning. You can put some of these seasonings in when you're grounding your beef if you want to. That will give even that much more love to the meat. But as it's boiling in the water, it's becoming soft and tender. And your house at this point will start to smell really good. I can smell it. Right now I can smell it. It smells really good. And then what you want to do is while that's boiling, then you want to take 2 pounds of Italian sausage, the links, not the patties or ground, and you want to, I'm telling you, I'm just, trust me on this one. Then you want to grill those, all right? You want to grill those sausage links. Yes, grill them. You're adding another depth of flavor to the sausage and to what's going in this pot. And then once they're grilled, you let them sit for a while and you begin to make the rest of your chili here. Then you add 2 cans of 28 ounce crushed tomato sauce. I like Hunt's. They don't add a whole bunch of stuff in there. It's just the crushed tomato. Throw those bad boys in, let that simmer. While that's simmering, you put 2 beef bouillon cubes in with that as it simmers. All right? Oh, I'm telling you, trust. Oh my gosh. You will love this. If you like chili, you will love this. And then, I know this looks like a lot, but 6 tablespoons of chili powder. Trust me, 6. And you can mix that up if you want. If you want to do some smoke chili powder, if you want to do some specialty chili, you do it. But trust me, it's not too much. It's just enough. And then 2 tablespoons of cumin, and then 1 tablespoon of minced garlic. And you can, if you don't want to pull the stuff out of the jar, it's about 2 cloves. So chop those back, but, you know, then your hands, whatever. If this is safer. And then 1 teaspoon of onion powder. And then salt and pepper to taste. And when that is cooking down, rendering down, and your sausage is cooled off, then you cut that into cubes, like cut it into pieces and put that in, and then drop it down to low and let it simmer for about an hour, at least an hour. And the more you let it simmer, I'm telling you, the better it is. And after about an hour, it will render down a little bit. It'll start to become thick. And then you top it with whatever makes you happy. Some cheese, some sour cream, whatever makes... How many of you really want chili right now? All right, how many of you forgot you were in a sermon right now? Did you catch that? What we focus on, we focus on. What we focus on, we focus on. And Paul is saying, you came to a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're still focused on what separates you from God. And if you're focused on what separates you from God, then you're not going to see God. You're going to see what separates you. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that chili is from Satan. That's not what I'm trying to say to you this morning. But when we focus so hard on the things that God wants to remove from our lives, we miss him, and we only see the stuff that we want to get rid of. And the more we try to get rid of it, the more we see it. And Paul's saying, that's not how it's done. It's not done until we change our focus off of the stuff that God wants to get rid of in your life. And this goes for the people around us, too. We get so focused on other people's stuff that we miss the stuff that God wants to get rid of in our life. We go, oh my gosh, look at that person. Woo, look at all the stuff they've got. Dude, you really need to get rid of your stuff. And meanwhile, we're walking around with plank eye, knocking people over with the stuff in our eye. Paul goes on to say in verses 15 to 20, maybe this hits you this morning. I do not understand what I do, for what I do, I do not want to do. But what I do, I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do is what I do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Did you follow that? When I do what I don't want to do, when I focus on what I don't want to do, it becomes do. And I get so caught up. And really here, I believe that he's talking about the residual effects of sin, and I'll get to that in a second, but jump down to verses 24 and 25. It says, his conclusion, what a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death? He answers his own question. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that it's not about me. I'm gonna stop. I can get all just caught up in like, I can't do this. And he answers his own question. You're right, Paul. You can't do it. You gotta let God in. I said the residual effects of sin, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but you have been given a new heart in Jesus Christ. There's been a heart transplant. But your body wants to continue in the old ways. When God looks at you, he sees you now as righteous and holy. But the residual effects of how you used to be want to take over. And it's those pieces that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with in the process of sanctification. So you get this brand new heart. It's beautiful. It looks good. And this is how God views you. But immediately we want to go to the areas of our life that we know we need to get rid of, but we try to do it on by ourselves. And the reality is you can't. You can't do it by yourself. And so this is truth, I believe, with all my heart, mind, and soul. This is not a religion of behavior modification. It is a relationship of capital S spiritual transformation. This is not, there are many other belief systems around the world that are behavior modification. Literally every other belief system on planet Earth is behavior modification. Every single one of them. Dive deep. Take that dive. They're all behavior modification. Just be better, just be better, just be better, just be better. I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, Christianity is the only one where God does it for us because we cannot do it ourselves. It is spiritual transformation, capital S, Holy Spirit transformation that takes place in this process. But our part is allowing him in and doing it. So let's look at chapter 8. I know there's a lot of scripture this morning. Go back and read it all together. Put it all together afterwards, but let me dive in right here. These last couple verses, and I'll bring it to a close. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, and then 14 to 17. So much, I mean, we do like 16 sermons on chapter 8 alone. There's just so much, oh my goodness, it's like chili. We could go on. It's like all kinds of toppings, and so good. Verse 1, it's on page 1096 if you're looking in the pew Bible. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by its sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but live according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now jump over to verses 14 to 17. And please go back and read everything that's in between. It's so good. 14 to 17 says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters of God. For who did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, if we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The difference maker in having a relationship with Jesus Christ and walking out your salvation is not behavior modification. It's allowing the Holy Spirit in and letting the Holy Spirit reveal to you what he wants to get rid of, what he wants to remove in your life. And I have to tell you, at any given moment in my life with Jesus, there's probably about 19 things that he wants to pull from my life. I mean, just ask the people around me. They'll probably be like, oh man, Jeff needs to work on that one. Chances are the Holy Spirit is telling me, right? But we need to allow him to do it. We need to allow him to remove it. The truth is there is no condemnation anymore. And we get so focused on the fact that we can't be what we want to be, and we call it hypocrisy. And we get so focused on that that we get stuck instead of allowing the Holy Spirit in and transforming that hypocrisy into making us more like Him. He sees it. He sees what you see. So let Him take it. Let Him remove it. We have to have our minds set on what the Spirit desires. Our mindset on what the Spirit desires. So the more we look at the stuff that we got to get rid of, the more we're going to focus on it. The more we have our mind focused on Jesus, the more we're going to act and be like Him. So the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit what needs to go. And there might be 19 things, but there's probably one that needs to go before the other, that needs to go before the other, that needs to go before the other. So let the good doctor of your soul be the good doctor of your soul, and let Him remove them. And so I would add this to Bonhoeffer's definition of what it means to follow Jesus. It is adherence to Christ, but this is not all an act of your will. This is the act of God Himself in and walking with you through this, the Holy Spirit. He didn't leave you as orphans. The Holy Spirit is present and desires to be present. That's why we chose as our third value, we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit, because we believe that He initiates the change in us. He's the one that initiates the change in us. And I have to pause right here. I know this, it's hard, and I didn't make a slide for this because I didn't want us to lose track and sight. But I know some of you, okay, give me a next step, Pastor Jeff. Give me next step. And the dilemma with giving you a next step is I don't want it to become a duty. I don't want it to become a job. I don't want it to become something you do. Because a relationship with Christ is not something you do, it's who you are. And you become that by spending more time with Him. And oftentimes it's different for different people. I'd really encourage you to dive in to Know and Grow number 2, because we tackle this in there. This is really a whole nother sermon. So if you do need a next step, let me give you a couple. But please do not take these as duties. I don't want to give you one more thing to do so you can become a better person or a better Christian. I want to give you something that will help you understand how to have a better relationship with Christ. Depending on your personality or what you like to interact with, here are some ways that people find and interact with God the best. If you are an outdoorsy kind of person, if you love nature and the environment, go spend some time outside thinking about how God created all of this that you see. The dirt and the plants and the animals, how He created all of it and how He created you, and tap into what God is doing in your life. Maybe you're a musical kind of person. Scripture tells us that the Lord inhabits the praises of our people. So if you get yourself into a place where you like to sing and dance, whatever you like to do in regards to the musical stuff, grab a song or two or 50 or 20 that talk about how great God is, and just spend some time listening and let that wash over you and over you and over you as you draw nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer to Him. Maybe you're really good with just being by yourself in a quiet space. That is not me. But maybe that's you. Maybe you just, I need quite, create some quiet space and bring something with you that draws your attention to God. Whether it's the Word of God, whether it's a really good book that draws attention to God, whether it's really good writings or something that draws your attention to God. Maybe you're a people person. Maybe you like interacting with people. If you are feeling not so great in your soul, maybe you need to get some new people. If the people around you are bringing you down and not stirring your soul, maybe you need to add some people to your mix that will stir your soul, so that then you can be a better influence on the people next to you and around you and share that love and compassion with them. So maybe diving in, knowing more about God, is sitting and listening and dialoguing to what God is doing in somebody else's life. This is one of my favorites. When I sit and I listen to what God is doing in somebody else's life, I get stirred and excited because we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We're going to hear about that one next week. So I do want to do an active participation land this morning, but I want to sum everything up in the words of Miguel Valentin. You don't save yourself, and you can't sanctify yourself. It's an act of God. So I want us to get into a posture this morning for our land. All right? I want you to look at these next steps up here. What do I need to release to God? And I want to be very careful that we don't get so focused on those things that we release, because we're going to replace them. But what do I need to release to God? Or where do I need to let God into my life today? We sing a song here at church, I need more of you. I need more of you. I need more of you. But really, it's the flip. God wants more of you. We don't need more of him. We need to let him have more of us. So where do you need to let him in? What closet, what room do you need to let him into that you're, oof, I don't want him in there. That one's really dark. Ooh, that one's ugly. That's gross. Guess what? He's a big God. He can handle it. He loves you anyways. What is that one, the thing that he's bringing to your attention now? And I'm going to pray about that. And then we're going to flip it. We love doing this in healing prayer. Bad out, good in. What does the Holy Spirit want to replace that with? Right? If it's fear, trust. If it's impatience, patience. If it is anger, love. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit wants to replace it with something that's good in your life. And so right now, close your eyes. This will probably be helpful so you're not distracted by the people next to you. What is the one thing that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your attention? Holy Spirit, I ask that you would bring that one thing, not the 20, we'll get to those. The one thing that you want us to bring to your attention, you want to bring to our attention today. What's that one thing? Kind of take one of your hands and cup it and kind of put it out in front of you. And whatever that one thing is, we're going to do an active participation thing here this morning. Whatever that one thing is, I want us to kind of lift up our hand and then dump it. And then kind of flick your hand and let it go. All right, now cup your hands together. Holy Spirit, I pray now that you would replace whatever was let go with what you desire for us to have now. Lord, I ask that you would replace fear with trust, that you would replace impatience with patience. You would replace coveting with I'm content. That you would replace hate and anger with love. That you would replace anxiety and depression and worry with hope, steady foundation, and truth. Whatever those things are, that we let go of today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would replace with the good stuff that you desire to be replaced. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.